And we're live!
Hey, everybody! Welcome to another episode of Masters of the Galaxy Podcast, and I am Brian Ozone, and I am finally back with my partner, Johnny Miz.
And woo! That was girly. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okie doke. And I have one of my special friends and a special guest. We have the Captain, John Atkin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, John?
Not too much, guys. Nice to be here.
He is the owner.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yeah. He is the owner, founder of HeManWorld.com, which is a great site. So if you guys haven't checked it out, please do so now, after the show, tomorrow. Check it out. Great information. It's an amazing site. John does a great job. I think I'm in there as like the.
Oh, you're in there. Yeah, you're in there.
Yeah. I'm in there as like a publicist or a podcaster or something or another. But yeah, it's a good site. And so how's that going, John? I mean,
yeah, things with the He-Man world are going pretty good. We just had our 4-year anniversary.
That's insane.
This December.
It seems like yesterday.
Brother. Thanks,
you
man.
Know, it really seems like yesterday you and I were just talking about the conception of it. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Time flies by. It was one of those things. You know, I thought about starting on my own website for a while. For a short time, I was a staff member with He-Man.org, and I thought, you know, I could probably do something similar too. And I decided to set up my own. And 4 years later, here we are. So.
Yeah, and you're doing a hell of a job, man. It's a great
Thanks,
site.
Man.
It's
Thanks.
Really it really is a great site. I mean, I'm not a frequent poster, but I am a frequent viewer.
Let me interrupt you, Ozone. I haven't been back in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt John, I don't mean to interrupt Brian, but Brian, it's beautiful to see you.
Yeah, man.
Seeing you. You're looking dapper.
Hey.
You held it down the last 2 weeks, man. Larry Kenny?
Yeah. Yeah, listen. You know, my plan is now to get some good guests, get some good company. John,
of course. John, that's a straight slight. What do you mean, get some good guests? We got good company.
No, without a doubt, man. I'm, you know, instead of having the normal chit chat between you and I want to reach out and get my friends involved, like John and Kenny.
Whoa, wait! You know, what do you mean, normal chit chat, get my friends? What am I, dog spit?
No. But
no, anyway,
you're my Ed McMahon. You know what I mean? So
I'm here to hand out the check. All right, let's do it.
Dude, you're part of the show. It doesn't matter. You're me and you are one of a kind. But
I love you to death.
Listen, me and you can go on forever, but this show is dedicated to our special guest, John. So.
Let's get him included.
Let's get him included.
I'm trying to include him. You're cutting me out.
Go for it. Speak.
No.
Talk.
I've only spoken to John one time in a PM when you added me as admin to Masters of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I remember.
And everybody's like, who the fuck is this asshole? I'm sorry. Excuse me, I swear. I'm sorry, John. I'm a foul-mouthed little chucklehead. I put out a couple things, you know, and John responded back a few days later. He was like, hey, man, I got this site, He-Man, you know, He-Man.com. And
He-Man
I replied,
World.
Yeah, He-Man.com, I'm sorry. And I replied back just like this, just like a noob. I'm like, yeah, man, I'd love to join that group. So, John, I'm not going to come at you as like this great, I got all the lore. I come at He-Man with childlike exuberance. I love this entire room. This whole room is full of He-Man.
That's pretty impressive collection you got there. Yeah,
I love it. My girlfriend loves it. I don't have all of the knowledge, but I've had them since I was a child. I'm a professional illustrator. Used to be
cool,
and it was all inspired by He-Man. I just wanted to say, man, I checked out the site. It's absolutely awesome. And in the first 10 seconds of hearing you laugh, drinking your water, I was like, your picture does not represent you on Facebook.
Oh, no?
You look like you should be judging a trial.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree. You totally look like a huge dignitary. Like you're like.
I just like, told Brian and Doug that. I was like, yo.
I haven't looked at my profile picture in a while. Is it? I'm standing in front of a brick wall. I think.
You look like you should be handing down the OJ verdict.
Yeah, yeah. That's my professional acting headshot. That one, I think. So yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, but John, that's me. Not a super scholar of He-Man. I love it. I'm passionate. And dude, the website is absolutely gorgeous. Being a fledgling website guy.
Oh, great. Thanks, man.
The MPA, but yeah, thank you. And it's awesome.
You know, the one thing that I really admire about the website, John, is that you constantly are changing the artwork on the main page, which is amazing because a lot of people don't do that. Like, He-Man.org, it's pretty much been the same platelet or layout or whatever the technical term
is. Yeah, He-Man.org's pretty much had the same look forever. And, and that's not a bad thing either. I mean, it's branding for the website. But with He-Man World, I like to try to update it once every few months just to keep it fresh. And it's a way of showing off the talents of other artists too, right?
Yeah, so. And even with the holidays, you do special things as well, which is awesome, you know, which is really cool. Yeah. I really enjoy that, you know. It's really cool. And DJ Force still a part of the crew? Is he still doing a lot with you? Or
We talk a lot on Facebook and stuff. He doesn't go too much on He-Man World. I think he frequents mostly the German website, if I'm not mistaken. He's from Germany.
I hope Hordak.eu, DU or something like that? Yeah.
But he actually did, he created our logo for the website, the He-Man World graphic. Yeah, I did a really nice job on that.
Yeah. No, and he's a great guy as well. He's a terrific guy. He was able to get me a fantastic deal on the German audio cassettes. He was able to get me the entire series in the collector's case, in addition to the New Adventure cassettes as well. So... he's a good guy, man.
How's bragging camp going? I'm so sick of hearing about how great your collection is.
No, shush.
I'm so tired.
You know what?
Shit you have.
You know what? Why don't you come down next weekend and help me rearrange my He-Man room? And then
next weekend, I'm going to be your head row life mate because I'm never going to leave that room.
That's fine. That's fine. But you know what? Your ass will be in chain of shackles, so you're not going to be able to take anything.
I don't know how to take that, but Mr. Atkin, I hear, again, like I said, I am not the most scholared in He-Man lore, but I hear you're the man to talk about the 87 movie.
I am a big fan of that movie, yes. Yeah.
I have seen it a few times. I always say when I talk about it, it was instantly ruined within the first 2 minutes for me because... as being a child, I was born 1980, so He-Man, I remember him about 5-6 years old, 85, 86. I remember the Filmation cartoon. I remember He-Man, Power Sword, She-Ra, you know, always a sword. I watched the intro to that movie when I first saw it. I can't remember, probably 87, 88. And the first thing I see is Dolph Lundgren.
With a rifle.
Shooting. And I swear to God, I still remember this feeling. The movie was instantly ruined, right? I felt disappointed. I was like, He-Man doesn't shoot people. He-Man has a sword.
Well, that's a bit of a misconception, though, because if you look at some of the old mini-comics and stuff, and I don't think it was the Golden Books, but I know in a couple of the mini-comics, He-Man actually did occasionally use a gun. Usually, he'd be taking it from, like, one of the enemies or something, but he would use one sometimes. The extreme that we saw in the He-Man film. And you know, a gun in the movie. I mean, I guess it's easier to choreograph, right? Because you know those swords were big and heavy, and could cause some damage. I didn't mind the guns too much because he didn't shoot anyone who was actually alive in the film. Like they don't really say it, but you see like the sparks going off of the black guys, the robots. So it's kind of like they're either robots or they're armored guards or something. But the way it appears to me watching the film, they're robots. So
well, that's something I read, that they were supposed to be robots. They had to have something that he could shoot that wasn't going to be portrayed as He-Man killed somebody.
Yeah, Mattel. Yeah, anybody. Yeah, Mattel didn't want them having He-Man kill or hurt any living creatures, so that's why they came up with those black stormtroopers for the film. Yeah, yeah. Which you know, I still like those designs. I think they're kind of cool. I think it would have been probably better if they had been flat, like painted flat black, or maybe a purple or something. Just something so they didn't quite look like Darth Vader running across the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But
no, that was William Stout that did all that, right?
William Stout designed them, but again, he didn't want them to be that shiny black. I think he was kind of outvoted on that one, but I know he, if you look at the original artwork, they were very detailed, like knight armors and stuff like that. Yes, it was more shades of brown and dark gray and stuff. So
yeah, I think that's where Mattel put the hammer down, and they had the final say on that, you know.
And then you know what drives me nuts? Mattel didn't make any toys of any of those troopers.
No, not at all. No? Not at all.
I was going to lead into that. Do you think we'll see some of that? I mean, I don't know what the upcoming. I just today saw. I don't know if you saw it, but again, this is something I credit you when I look on Masters of the Galaxy. You're always posting something relevant to recent news. Somebody just posted some David Goyer, and I can't remember his name, but the artist that works with Ridley Scott for the Alien movies.
Yes.
He's who's working with the Masters of the Universe. And don't get me wrong. I love the old Filmation look. I want my He-Man to look like He-Man. But if it's going to look space age, I guess I'm glad it's going to be Ridley Scott, kind of.
Well,
if it has to be that
well,
way.
Well, supposedly this movie's going to be taking place solely on Eternia. So hopefully they get it right.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if there will be any mention of Earth, though, because, you know, I assume Queen Marlena is going to be in it. So either she will be from Earth or she won't be. I kind of hope they do keep that because it is part of the lore now, you know.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah. But as far as the Teela, the battle suit that they showed online, and, you know, I mean, it could be a male or a woman in that suit. It's very generic kind of thing. Reminded me a little bit, like David S. Goyer there, he worked on Man of Steel, the Superman film. Yep. And it kind of looks a little bit like General Zod to me, those Kryptonian armors. It's okay as long as it's not worn in the entire film. And I don't think it would be. I think it's probably like elemental, like maybe they're in space or maybe they're underwater. There's probably a reason as to why she has that battle suit on. So, and probably because, you know, it's easier to CGI a character if they're wearing a robotic kind of suit than, you know, flesh and blood. So it's probably for a big battle, I would assume.
Yeah, that's what I said. Did you catch it? I think it was just put out today. Did you catch any of the... They showed some of his concept art today. They showed parts of Eternia. And it looked very Alien-esque. They showed, like, layouts.
Yeah, I actually had to work late tonight. I just got home, so there's quite a bit I haven't seen yet, so no.
What do you mean? You have a real life?
I have a real life, sort of.
I'm calling straight bullshit.
Yeah, we're all not you know, Masters of Universe entrepreneurs or whatever the case is.
I'm the worst one.
It's good that they're showing some of this stuff, at least for, you know, fans to kind of get an idea of what they're coming up with. And
yeah,
I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but He-Man fans tend to be very, very vocal fans. So they're probably getting a lot of feedback, maybe some. I think feedback is good feedback either way. So maybe hurting their feelings on some things, but it's probably good.
But you know what, too? I think it's good that they're doing this because it's, I mean, what are we going on? 10, 15 years of back and forth of movies being made and scripts and this and that. So now it's, you know, we're getting concrete evidence of things being done, which I am so I'm so for. For the fact is like, you know, I'm not getting my juices flowing for no reason again. Now we're seeing things, you know, costume designs, production, stuff like that, and a date set in time where they're going to start doing production. So it's actually something good to look forward to because, you know, for the years that that's been going by, oh, we're getting a new movie and this director and that director, but yet they don't show nothing. I mean, I remember that one, I guess, movie poster of that really crappy looking Battle Cat.
Silhouette of He-Man on it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, little tidbits here and there, I think, is a good thing because it's given us hope that, yeah, this is really happening.
Well, sorry, go ahead, John. I didn't mean to.
Well, how do you guys feel about the news that David is the one, you know, writing and directing the film? Are you happy about him doing it?
Well, that's what I was reading. Go ahead, Brian. I'm
going to be honest. What else has he done?
He was one of the writers on the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy. Yep. So Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises.
I'm all for it. Yeah. I think he'll do a fantastic job. I mean, The Dark Knight, in my eyes, is one of the best movies ever created. I mean, hands down.
Those.
You know, from start to finish.
Christopher Nolan, man.
Just when you thought the movie was over, boom, it started all over again. So I think it's in the hands of a good guy, and I think he's going to bring something to the forefront that He-Man fans alike are going to love. I'm just hoping that he'll keep it in the realm of the Batman trilogy, that there's not over CGI and kill it in that respect. Try to keep everything as man-made as possible. I mean, I know you're going to have to use some GCI or CGI, I mean, but to overdo it like the Star Wars prequels is just a waste of time and money in my eyes. To me, that was just complete BS, and I'd much rather see something that you're using Muppets and things like that.
Something more like the newer Star Wars films, you know. Like, yeah, I've been pretty impressed with the last three, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I call it organic CGI.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, they have the technology now that they can do things like that, and makeup artists are ridiculous, man. So to see the stuff, I'm really hoping that they don't overdo it with the CGI and kill it, because to me it's just a buzzkill and it's just going to kill it. I'm just going to be, you know, I'll go see it, but I'm not going to go see it 25 times and then buy the Blu-ray.
You're a goddamn liar, because you will. You will. I will.
Listen,
too.
Listen, pal.
I was reading part of the article today. Like I said, I was racing home from work, but I just caught it before I left. And the other thing that they were mentioning was that, do they feel that they're rushing the movie because Mattel gains the rights? They're pushing the movie for December 18th, 2019, and Mattel gains the rights 2019. Mattel gains the rights like January that year.
So it's a little confusing. Like Sony has the rights until, I guess, December 2019, something like that.
Yep.
And then after that, it goes back to Mattel, and then they can resell the rights, or maybe not so much Mattel. It's like Mattel and DreamWorks. It's all complicated. Exactly. And then to be honest, I think if that happens, you'll probably see, I would think, Universal get the rights to the film, because DreamWorks and Universal are kind of interconnected. So, yeah, Sony really has to get it done. And honestly, Sony doesn't have a whole lot of movies in its stable right now.
Like, it's got this... I think the next big blockbuster, I think, is Venom, right?
Yeah, Venom. And they're counting on the Spider-Man characters a lot. You know, they've got the whole stable of Venom, Spider-Man, Carnage, all the Spider-Man villains. But I mean, look what they're doing right now with Spider-Man. They're teaming up with Marvel Studios, which, you know, thank God they're doing, because I really wanted to see that Spider-Man with Iron Man and that sort of thing.
Well, I was also reading that, I don't know if it's Spider-Man, but the actor who plays Spider-Man is actually going to have some sort of a sequel in the Venom movie, whether he's Peter Parker or Flashback.
Yeah.
Spider-Man himself.
I'm not sure. Like, from what I heard, Spider-Man's not in this Venom film, but I think they want all these films to be kind of married together, same universe sort of thing.
Yes.
And the nice thing with Sony is now they seem to be more interested in doing movies with the Marvel Universe because they know that's where the money is. If they want movies to do well, they got to do that. Yep. And just to bring that back to He-Man for a second, that's really why they need a movie like He-Man Masters of the Universe is because they don't really have a lot of different movies they can make. Their last big movie was the Blade Runner sequel. I thought it was awesome, but it bombed at the box office.
Yeah.
And so they need another hit outside of just Spider-Man if they want to succeed as a studio.
And I was also reading something that they don't want to do like a one-off movie. They're looking to do like a franchise.
Oh yeah, I would think a trilogy at the minimum.
Right, and then probably
a She-Ra film.
God. We can only hope it all works out so well.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, if the first He-Man does well, you could probably bet your bottom dollar.
Even if it does moderate.
Yeah, you better bet your bottom dollar that She-Ra will probably make an appearance in the second one. And you never know, there'll probably be a spin-off. And then, you'll have He-Man Part 3, She-Ra Part 1.
We can get more Gwildor.
Yeah, I guarantee they'll make a She-Ra movie because, what was the biggest film of last year? It was Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She-Ra is a very similar kind of character. A lot of women, young women, remember She-Ra when they were kids and stuff like that. So, I think there was even talk that there could be a She-Ra movie before a He-Man movie, but it looks like no Masters of the Universe is going to happen first.
And don't forget as well, Netflix is going to have a She-Ra cartoon as well. So, She-Ra's going to be out there on the forefront for everybody to see. So, I would say a She-Ra movie is imminent. I think it's going to be somewhere in the near future. So, for She-Ra fans and Pop fans alike and He-Man fans, we're going to have some type of content out there.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Guys, we're getting Masters of the Universe. We're getting She-Ra. We're getting more content. So I'm just excited about that. Like I said.
Big time. Yeah.
That childlike exuberance is coming back at 37. That's pretty rare to be able to be like, they're releasing a new cartoon. I'm excited about it. They're releasing a new movie. I'm excited about it. So
outside of
all the BS that's going on, the hype and the talk, I'm excited, like I said, from that end of being a fan, being in a He-Man room, being 37. Hey, man, it's still going. My girlfriend is now collecting because of it. Her girl knows what the He-Man is.
you know what's funny, Miz? It's like you only show your left side of the room. What's on the other side? The Barbie collection?
It's all She-Ra classics, vintage, pop. This is an entire
good stuff.
This whole room, man. It's like the whole room is He-Man.
So, all right, guys. So, let's just switch gears for just a little bit here, and let John Atkins. Let's give a little backstory on John. For people who don't know about John, John is somewhat of
a troublemaker.
I thought you were a judge.
Besides the troublemaker, John has been in movies. Somewhat like a stunt double, I guess you can say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in some stuff.
I've been in two Marvel movies.
Yeah.
What movie, sir?
Yeah.
I was in the original X-Men film.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. The very beginning of the film when they're at Auschwitz.
Is that the one with the helicopter?
No, that's the Incredible Hulk.
Nope. Magneto part. Magneto at Auschwitz.
Yeah, when young Magneto is being taken, and there's a bunch of German officers. They were Nazis, but they just called them German officers in the script. And I was one of the German officers who was pulling at him while he was trying to use his powers to bend the gate.
Really?
And we all fall in the mud. Yes, I'm at the beginning of that film. And then in the Incredible Hulk, I was brought on... because I was in the military for about 13 years, they needed people to train like the extras how to use guns and stuff, just firing blanks. And so I spent a month doing that. And then when I wrapped, they called me one day. They said, "John, our key actor who's supposed to be the helicopter pilot, they bailed. Can you come, you know, play dress up and be a helicopter pilot? So I spent another 2 weeks working on the film. So you see the helicopter flying and the Hulk and the Abomination jump on it. And it, like, crashes into the ground. And I'm the pilot flying it as it crashes. So it was pretty fun. Yes. It's a good time.
Yeah, that's phenomenal, man. Hey, man.
And I'll tell you this. I don't know where they're filming the He-Man movie, but if they film it in Canada, in Toronto, I'm going to be on that film. I will find a way to get on that film.
And you got to fly me in, man. Get me.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll definitely come out there for the weekend, man. I'll definitely come out there. That's something I'd love to see, you know?
Well, I live just down the street from the studio where they film Star Trek Discovery, and they do a lot of movies there. So I'm hoping that, you know, Masters might get shot.
Right. So now, that's another point I wanted to go that you mentioned on Star Trek.
Yeah.
John is what we call a Trekkie.
And oh, yeah.
I don't know if most people
know what a Trekkie is.
But I'm a part of the Facebook group. He has Yorktown. Do you want to elaborate on that, John?
Sure, yeah. Yorktown, it's kind of a weird one. Yorktown, A Time to Heal is a Star Trek fan film, and it stars George Takei, who played Sulu in the original series. And way back in 1987, these guys in L.A., they somehow got George to be in this fan film. And they spent about a year shooting it, and then they never finished it. And I had read about it as a kid in a magazine called Starlog. I don't know if you guys would remember that.
Yes.
It was, in fact, I think the issue I read about them in, they were talking about the Masters of the Universe movie in it. So it was way back, 86, 87. And, you know, the magic of the internet, I contacted the guy, Stan Wu, to find out what happened to the film because I wanted to watch it. And he said, oh, we never finished it. And so I said, well, I got, you know, some friends in the theater and stuff. Would you like us to take a stab at it and try to finish it? So we ended up, over the past few years, we've been working on it piece by piece and filming the missing scenes. And we hope to have it done this summer. And so all the effects and stuff, the guys that we have doing the effects are guys that worked on the Star Trek series in the past.
Yeah, and they look amazing.
And
it looks good so far.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, no, it's turning out really good. We've got one more scene to film actually this month, and then we got to finish editing it and doing the effects. So probably August or September of 2018, it'll be done. And what we hope, you know, what it's going to look like to a lot of people is basically a lost episode of Star Trek. And we got George Takei, and we also got a guy named James Shigeta in it. And if you remember the movie Die Hard, the Japanese boss who is getting mouthy with the German. Yeah, and he says, well, you'll just have to kill me. He's the main star of our film.
Now, John, is it tough to get everybody together to film? Or
it can be a challenge. Like, we had to do some fundraising because we went to Oklahoma. They have a Star Trek replica bridge set there.
Yes.
It looks just like Kirk's bridge from the 60s.
Yeah, it looks exactly like it. Exactly.
So we had to raise money to fly actors there. We had to buy costumes. We made sure everything looked authentic.
It looked vintage. Yeah. Like I said, guys, if you have a chance, check it out. It's Yorktown Time to Heal Facebook page. And all the pictures are on there. And, man, I'm telling you, man, the shit looks awesome. I mean,
thanks, man.
This is awesome, man. I can't wait to check this out.
We have a short trailer on there, too. It's about maybe 2 minutes long. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got fan-made films that, you know, they're fan-made. You know, people can afford what they can afford to make it look good. But this is like the real deal, man. This shit looks real, like Hollywood style. Like, it's
Ozone. You've been holding out on me, dude. Come on, man.
It's really no joke. It's really something to see, especially if you're a Trekkie or a Star Trek fan or even sci-fi. You got to check it out. It's something that's really cool. And when the finishing touches are done and it's ready to be released, definitely check it out, man. Because again, like John said, it's like a lost episode. It really is. Oh. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, the fact that Sulu's in it, and honestly, like These guys aren't acting anything anymore. This is probably the last film that'll ever feature one of those actors in a Star Trek setting. So
yeah, because he's getting up in age himself. So
God
willing that he makes it to the end. I'm hoping.
He's a pretty healthy guy. He does a lot of running and stuff. You know, looks pretty good for 80. So
yeah, no, he does look good for his age. He does. Damn. He does look good. So what else you got in the works, Sean? You got anything else cooking, or is
what else do I got? Well, just something personal, I guess, looking at this He-Man room here. The wife and I, we just bought a house. We're going to be moving into a new house in about 4 months.
Oh, so and you got married?
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we got married. Baby on the way, too.
Oh!
So a couple of life changes.
Now that's a podcast. That's
so growing up.
John, you know, but funny, man, I love the personal side of the collectors. And
do you
the
know if
involved.
It's a boy or do you know if it's a boy or a girl, John?
Yeah, it's a boy. Yeah, it's a boy. So
there you go, man. Yeah. There you go. Teach him the ways.
And so the wife isn't here, so I can say this. So I'm really excited because right now we're living in a condo. And it's a one-bedroom. So all of my He-Man collection is in boxes, except for those four, which I just displayed for this podcast.
I was just going to say, I see them back there on the
Yeah, they're just on display for now. They go under the bed after.
Yeah. You see, I'll tell you a story. When I lived, when I had my apartment, I had a two-bedroom apartment. I had, well, of course, the bedroom for where I slept. And my second bedroom was where I kept all my He-Man stuff. Like, it was like my He-Man room / computer room / my guitars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So when I told my wife, when we buy a house, I need a He-Man room. And that's what I got. I got a He-Man room. But the fact of the matter is now is that it is completely overflowing. It is...
How terrible for you. How terrible!
Yeah, I was gonna say. I know.
I'm sorry, guys.
Hey, Mr. Self, can we get back to John's story?
Yes.
So I'm very excited to finally have a He-Man room.
That's great.
You know, growing up as a kid, I always seemed to have a He-Man room. My parents, they let me have the basement, like part of the basement, to turn into my little Eternia.
Nice.
We had a garage. And the top part of the attic, they let me turn into Eternia as a kid. And, Eternia placed that in the middle, Grayskull, Snake Mountain everywhere, and a little area to have fun. And I seemed to always have a little area until I got married. And then so for the past little while, the toys have been hidden away. So now it's nice to do that. And I started buying those posters from Mad Duck Posters recently. You seen those, He-Man?
Dude, yes, yes. Absolutely amazing.
Gorgeous.
So I've got all these posters that I want to get framed now and stuff. So it's nice to have a room that'll be able to do that and like just display everything. So
now, John, did you do you still have your stuff from childhood, or did that stuff get chucked away from your parents?
I've got most of it. Sad story. The only thing that really got chucked, I lost a couple of vehicles and I lost the Eternia playset. My mother had moved to New Brunswick, Canada.
And the
stuff just disappeared. So past few years, I've been doing the eBay thing, buying parts of Eternia and stuff.
I've
got all the three towers now, but I got to get the tracks and a couple of the little vehicles for it.
Yeah.
But pretty much everything else I've got. I think there's only five figures I'm missing from the original collection.
Oh, cool.
I'm missing the laser figures, Laser He-Man, Skeletor.
The
two giants.
I don't
have Rotor. Rotor, the little spinny guy. But I got the villain. I got the other guy. I was never a fan of those Twistoid guys too much.
I just want to say, just so you know, at some point you will see it on Masters of the Galaxy or somewhere else in the community, I'm going to use my little Eternia.
Oh, good.
Good.
I really like that.
Yeah. Eternia, you know, I still remember when I first got it. It was like the best playset ever. You know, I still love Grayskull.
It's still rated the number one. Well, I'm not sure if Eternia or the USS Flag from G.I. Joe.
No, it's Eternia.
I'm pretty sure Eternia still has the number one spot as playset.
Yeah,
I want the Fright Zone. I have my full Castle Grayskull, my full Snake Mountain complete box. I never had the Fright Zone. I always wanted the Fright Zone. That to me is my grail. I want to get the complete Fright Zone one day.
I like the Fright Zone. What do I remember about that? The only thing I didn't like about Fright Zone was that dragon puppet.
The puppet, yeah.
The puppet. I find the paint always peels on the mouth, even like back
in the day. And it dries out, yeah.
But I've seen some really cool custom dragons. Yes. Fans of me. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, in time, you know, things gotten better, so they were able to fix those issues.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Who knows what the future holds for the new Fright Zones or new.
Who knows? You know, with the new movie coming out, who knows if they're going to keep it in the classic style or they're going to change it or who knows what they're going
to
do.
It's really hard to say. You know, I hope they stick to that classic style at least a little bit. You know, I mean, look at Thor, you know, the Thor movies. I found those kind of kept to those classic Kirby elements and stuff and it looked great. And if you stick to that source material, you end up with something that looks original. If you make it just generic, like another superhero film where every villain is interchangeable, it gets boring. So I'm hoping, you know, that Thor Ragnarok film, that's a film I hope these guys look at as to how to make a good He-Man film. Agree to disagree, but I thought that was a fantastic film.
Who is He-Man? Have they mentioned that? I haven't seen that. Have we mentioned who's going to play He-Man?
I don't think they haven't even given a hint yet.
No. Okay. It's still all that stuff is still up in the air. They really haven't let any of the cat out of the box yet.
Not saying that Chris Hemsworth wouldn't play a fantastic He-Man.
That's too close. That's hitting home too. No.
I know.
What's his brother's name? Liam? He's a pretty big guy too. If he started lifting weights a bit more, I could see him.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I did hear through the grapevine that Dolph Lundgren has been asked to play Randor.
That would be
awesome. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to play Randor. I had heard, like, potentially, well, Dolph had said it, that he might play the King or maybe King Grayskull, one or the other. Oh. So,
yeah.
I'd love to see him as King Grayskull. I think that would be better. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's almost 7 feet tall, so that would make sense. He's pretty tall, that dude. That would be pretty cool. That's like a homage to like Kenny Larry playing Claudius as Lionel. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, man, Larry Kenny, hell yeah.
You know, that'd definitely be a very good nod. I think that would work out pretty well.
And Dolph's got a big role coming up right now, too. He plays a villain or a kind of a quasi-villain in the upcoming Aquaman film.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, he's I think he becomes the King of Atlantis and an enemy of Aquaman.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that. I try to stay away from all that stuff because I want it to be a surprise.
Oops.
But yeah. No. That's totally fine. No, that's cool though. I like that they pay homage to the older guys because they deserve it. You know, they paid their dues, and I think it's pretty cool that they're still bringing them back and keeping them relevant. You know,
well, I hope if they bring Dolph into this, I'd love to see them get Anthony DeLongis some sort of part in it.
Yes.
I mean, this guy is
swing
one of
them swords, baby.
Yeah.
Yes. Now one you of the best and Anthony
trainers in Hollywood.
It's to this day still.
Yeah.
Now you and Anthony have pretty much of a friendship, correct?
Oh yeah. No, me and Anthony are friends. We've been chatting probably since 2010. I interviewed him for the website back then for MotuMovie.com. And we've been friends for quite a few years. And actually, recently he got a medal, him and his wife. They got the Sovereign's Medal for Volunteers. Because he does a lot of charity work. He does it's just different charities and stuff. And like William Shatner, he has horse riding events every year that raise charity for different things. And so I nominated him for it. And he ended up getting the award at the L.A. consulate. So,
oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, that's fantastic.
I've actually tried to reach out to Anthony about getting on the show. So maybe if you see him, you can whisper in his ear.
I will whisper into his ear. Yes.
We long to speak with him.
Yeah. I've been trying to get in touch with him. Him and Meg Foster, actually.
Meg might be a little harder. I don't know, like, how good she is, like, with the internet and stuff like that. I've emailed her a few times, and she's sometimes a bit slow to get back. But Anthony is very much a social media kind of guy.
Yeah, well, if you can also speak to Meg, that'd be great. Because I it's funny, I was going through my Google Photos, and I found a bunch of photos of me, Anthony, Meg, and Gary Goddard from PowerCon that one year.
And
Gary is such a sweetheart, man. Me and Gary spoke for, I would say, at least 45 minutes to an hour. The guy is a great guy, sweetheart. I'm sad that he's going through all the BS that he has to go through. I'm sure it's all BS, but he really is a good guy. He truly is a nice guy.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate hearing about all that stuff going on in Hollywood right now, and I guess that's all I have to say about that. You know, you hope for the best.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, especially now. I mean, just listen to all these stories that are going around. It's ridiculous who's getting this and that, and sexual this and that. It's so much that it's hard to believe, you know? It's just like this person is just trying to make herself her 15 seconds of fame and trying to bring down a good person's name. It's just sad. I'm
too much going on. Too much.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. It all goes back to that Harvey Weinstein guy, really. he got the ball rolling, for better or worse. And you know, it's unfortunate what's going on right now there, but you know, hopefully it is, some of this stuff is making it better for people. I just, you hope that people that you know, you hope that some people aren't having their names brought in that haven't done anything, you know, like it's the problem with the court of public opinion kind of thing, you know. So someone can say you did something, maybe you did it, maybe you didn't, but once it gets out there, everybody kind of assumes that you did, you know.
Right. So, relationship, see, Mike.
Yeah. See, ahead. I'm a union plumber here in New York City, and you know, sometimes we deal with women construction workers, and the attitude changes once they're on the site, because you kind of got to watch what you say and what you do, because...
Well, yeah, you got to be a gentleman, Ozone.
Well, no, I mean, I am, but, you know, you joke...
I know you are.
You joke around, you say things and this and that, but you kind of got to be on your... You got to walk on eggshells, because... You know, it's their word versus yours, and God forbid, you know, it sucks the world we live in today. You know, it's sad, because innocent people get hurt by stupidity, and you know, that could be the case with certain people that we all know. So, it's sad.
I, you know, honestly, I just try not to stress about those things. If I'm talking to a female coworker at work, I tend to talk to them, you know, the same way I would a male coworker at work. And there's certain things I won't talk about at work, because
you
know, it depends on the environment, right? But I talk to the women I work with the same way I do with the men, and I just try not to sweat it. And you know, I hope with both men and female employees, I hope I don't ever say anything that you know, is taken the wrong way or whatever, that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah.
All you can do is be yourself, Brian. That's about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So,
yeah. You got. You know what it is. You got to pick and choose your battles too. You know. You gotta know. You know what to do, what to say, how to say it, where to say it, and things like that. It's it's tough, because you do have those vindictive people out there that are just fishing for you know, bad things and stuff like that.
Oh, that's. Yeah, you get that everywhere. You know, you get it on Facebook, you get it in the email community sometimes, you know, and we just have to
Facebook.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you want to hear a you want to hear a funny story? I got a buddy of mine that lives in Norway, and he's constantly changing his name, and I can never keep up with the kid because he's always changing his name. And one day he got me, and I asked him. I said, "What's with the name changing?" And he said the fact that if you say something, their government can hold you accountable, and it could add to jail time.
Wow!
Damn.
It's gotten crazy, man. It's a little crazy. You really got to watch, you know, your P's and Q's. You really do.
I want to ask about the hat tonight. I haven't seen you look so dapper.
My hat? Hold on. Yeah. I'll put on my fake glasses, too. There you go.
I'm going to say, John, I mean, I haven't done the extent of podcasts that, you know, Brian has done. I've only been in for, this is probably 10 or 11.
Okay.
Dude, you did a lot more than that. You're like short-term member.
I haven't kept count, but I want to say on my first podcast, you fell asleep. He fell asleep, and Aaron Johnson and I continued on, and you could hear Ozone snoring in the background.
Oh, long day
at work.
You're never gonna let me down.
And then, you know, occasionally he'll wear a bandana. You know, he'll dress up a little bit for me, but you know, tonight, man, he went all out. He was looking mad dapper for you tonight. So
I want to look good for John. Very impressed. I want to look good for John.
I feel a little hurt, but I appreciate it. He looks nice.
Oh, here, I got to show you my shirt. Hold on.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tell me if you recognize what's on my shirt here.
Let's see.
That's you, Ozone.
What is that?
You recognize that?
No, what is...
Oh, my gosh, come on. Talking about the He-Man movie. What is that?
Is that Skeletor?
Yeah, close. It's the logo on Blade, the action figure's chest. And,
All right. I'm sorry. Yep. I'm a little slow. All right.
It appears a few times in the movie, too, on Skeletor's robots. They have it a few of them on the shoulder.
Yeah, I'll show you mine. It's the Orko cereal that was made a couple of years ago.
Free sort of power inside.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right.
It's probably only a matter of time before they come out with an Orko cereal, you know.
Exactly. Oh, no, I can't wait. I'll eat the hell out of that.
Exactly.
Hope it's got marshmallows in it.
It does. It's got a little Skeletor and He-Man marshmallows. It's pretty funny. All right, guys. Well, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time, John. I want to appreciate you for being on. You're always welcome to come back on if you have any good news to spend to share. And if you please do me that favor to get in touch with Anthony, I would love to have him on. If you want to join him, that'd be great. I'd appreciate
that. Yeah, no, definitely talk to him. Yeah.
That would be amazing. Do you have anything you want to say, John, before you leave? Or...
Let's see. What have we not talked about? We haven't talked about any of the Super 7 Motu toys. Have you guys talked about the new ones yet?
No. Please, feel free.
Well, what do you guys think of the ones that are coming out soon? Which wave is it? Wave 2? Triclops?
I want my Filmation. That's what I want.
I'll be honest with you.
I paid $180-something. I want them.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten any of them yet, so it's I'm still waiting. But
you haven't gotten any.
No.
How do you usually get them?
Gotten any of them?
What?
You usually get them on eBay, or do you?
No, from Super 7 themselves. I haven't gotten.
Oh, okay.
They haven't shipped them out yet, but
February 20th.
I am ecstatic that they are continuing. I love the fact that they're doing. Not just the main, characters that everybody wants. I like that they're doing the obscure figures. I absolutely love that. I love the Filmation figures they're doing. I think they're doing a better job than what Mattel was doing previously. I think they look a lot better. I hope that they pack in, you know, like the secret weapons and relics that they have done in the past.
Yeah, I love that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I can't get enough of that stuff. I think that's some awesome things. What do you have to say, Miz?
I'm a big fan of the Filmation style. I didn't buy any of the Super 7 Ultimates. I didn't really care. I like the classics, don't get me wrong. I just recently learned about them about a year and a half ago, 2 years, when I got back into collecting. I've always been a He-Man guy. But I don't really have a connection to them like I do with my vintage stuff. Like, I have a ton of vintage stuff characters. To me, that's my childhood. That's my nostalgia. Mm-hmm. But even the Beast Man, man, I forgot they were packaged like this when they released them. So I saw the Triclops, the Hordak, the Tila. I think they're beautiful. I love this style. I love the way they look.
Yeah, I love that glass window box. I think it's cool.
This was my childhood. This is what I remember, you know, before school, after school. So I really enjoy these. I can't wait to get them. And again, I don't really care about the shipping day. I don't care if it's 9 months, whatever. It's out there. They're fulfilling the orders. I don't bitch about stuff like that. To me, it's irrelevant. It's the fact that, hey, man, there's a new figure coming. It's coming in the mail to my house in 2018.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that part. That to me is a collector.
So. Yeah, the ETA dates never really bother me too much. Like, I kind of like, you know, I know they're coming. Like I said, my wife makes me keep them all in the closet or under the bed. So for now, it's like, whatever. You know?
Whatever. So, they show up, and it's a great surprise. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you guys this. What do you guys think of a Snake Mountain? Do you think we're going to get it eventually?
Well, I'll tell you, I co-hosted an event in L.A., the He-Man and She-Ra Day. We did a movie screening of the Masters of the Universe film and all that. That would have been back in 2015. And Mattel lent us the Snake Mountain. They brought it in a big glass box.
Yeah.
They brought that and a whole shelf of all the toys and stuff like that. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it thinking, holy cow, that is big.
It's like,
it was too big. It was honestly, it was, you couldn't, I don't know where I would store something like that.
What do you mean store? That's my coffee table.
I saw it when they revealed it at San Diego Comic-Con, man. That thing is ginormous. Yeah. I mean, it is so big, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it looks great on display, but for most collectors, you wouldn't have room for it. So I think they needed to bring it down in size a little bit. Well, maybe just a tad taller than Castle Grayskull, but it doesn't have to be a whole lot.
Well, that's what I heard, that Brian Flynn from Super 7 said that they're trying to scale it down a little bit. Also, you know, to cut the costs for people because the price range is pretty high. But what I'm speculating is that they're going to do not so much a pre-sale, but
layaway.
I can't think of the exact terminology, but I think they're going to want to...
Like a Kickstarter or something?
Yeah, like a tally of how many they need and get some money up front to start it.
A little Kickstarter or maybe Indiegogo would be a good way to do that for sure.
Yeah.
How much would you guys be willing to pay for a Snake Mountain?
Well, how much was Grayskull? 300?
300?
350, something like that, yeah.
So I'm thinking probably the same amount, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if it's bigger in scale, then yes, maybe 400. If it's...
Listen, even if it's bigger in scale, it doesn't have to be so detailed, you know? It could just... Because, Snake Mountain's basically a cave, so it's not like you need intricate details and things like that.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Yeah. Like to me, I'd be happy if it was even just kind of like a shell, as long as I had something to display that looks like Snake Mountain on the outside.
Yeah,
I'm not too fussy about what's inside. It'd be nice to get like that bone throne room, that sort of thing inside.
Well, originally at San Diego Comic Con, they were throwing that in. That was part of it. So I don't know if that changed or not because. There were so many customizers making them, selling them, and I guess they saw how many they were selling, and they all that money that they could have been making that they lost, so they were throwing that in. with the Snake Mountain. So
yeah, it's iconic. That skull bone throne. They definitely should make that. Yeah.
I'm really hoping that we do get that. And I'll tell you one thing else. I'm really hoping that they somehow get the rights to the Thundercats just to finish off. just to get Tigra, Chitara. Who else? I'm a Ben Bengali fan. Mumra.
Yeah.
Just get the four or five, finish the line, and be done with it.
Well, I have to admit, Thundercats was a huge disappointment for me because, you know, I wanted to get them all. I thought, this is fantastic. Yeah. They're making them like Masters of the Universe figures. It's what we always wanted as kids.
Exactly.
And then they didn't carry through with it. And I guess Super 7 couldn't get the license. Well, here's my beef with that. Okay, Super 7 can't get the license. Who cares? Why didn't Mattel finish that on their own? They could have continued and sold those toys through the Mattel shop. Yes. Or even try selling them in Toys R Us or something, you know?
Yes.
So I think Mattel, people say, oh, Super 7, whatever. No, I think Mattel dropped the ball on that one.
It's unfortunate. Like I said, it's only four or five figures that they need to complete, and maybe Jaga, so six, say.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a huge amount. It's maybe just one more wave of figures, and we're good. I mean, as much as Pumaira is cool to have, I'd much rather have Chitara or Tigra.
I'll be shocked if we ever get those through Mattel. I'll be very, very shocked. But or Super 7, but I hope they find a way to get those out. Because I think, you know, I don't want to say they owe it to the fans, but they really push that Thundercats subscription.
They kind of do owe it to it. The last time I spoke to Brian, they are still trying to fight to get that license just to finish the line. Not to go beyond to get like Sly and you know the other guys, Monkey. Well, Monkey would be great to have too, though.
But, yeah,
you know, Rat or whatever his name is. Those guys. You know, we don't need those guys. Yeah. The pirates, the drillers.
For me, really, any of the characters that appeared in the first five cartoons of Thundercats, those are the ones I would want to see get made.
Yes, yes, without a doubt. And again, like I said, Jaga.
Yeah.
He definitely needs to be there, whether he's in his human form or he's in his translucent hologram form.
Oh, if they ever get the license back, awesome. They'll make both for sure. That's an easy variant.
Yeah. They'll do like we did with King Hero. I'm really hopeful wishing that they do finish that line. Somehow, either MattelShop.com or Super 7. But, you know, Brian said that they are trying to do that. The cards aren't off the table. It's just a bunch of licensing BS that they have to go through to get them. So, you know, hopefully it happens.
Yeah.
And I'm really hopeful.
Now, what have you guys thought so far, though, of the Wave 1 figures that they've been showing? For the Filmation ones, they had Man-at-Arms, Teela, Kordak, and Triclops. What do you guys think of them so far?
Awesome.
I mean, I'm into them. I think they're pretty cool. Another Hordak, I could deal without. You know, this is like what, our sixth or seventh Hordak, but.
Well, I mean, I'm glad we finally got a Hordak with the Filmation head. Like, that's awesome.
Well, yes. But you know what? With that, it's a head. You know, it's like just packing a head. This is what brings me to one of my favorite all time figures that I never had was the Leo Faker. To me, you know, you pack in the Leo Faker head, you pack in the Leo Faker orange Havoc staff, and you can pack in the orange loincloth, and you got a Leo Faker. But you know, they don't see it that way.
Well, the nice thing with this Hordak, like he comes with Imp, which is a little character a lot of people didn't get. He does have a removable robot arm, which is different than the one that came.
That's cool.
One.
Yeah.
And then, I think they also put the imp, what is it, when he's a treasure chest? And
yeah,
I know yeah, they were
that,
giving
yeah. that. Yeah, yeah that was the giveaway at San Diego.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I never got that. So this is great that they're putting it in with that too. Yes. And I know that the chest armor is different as well. It's not just the regular snap-on we got with every other Hordak. It's got like the bones on the side, and you can see the blue skin. So it's very much like the cartoon version. It's exactly
yeah,
like it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
yeah. And the collar, too.
One of the best-looking figures.
Yeah, the collar, too. It's got the bones on it. And,
yes,
yeah.
That's a good nod to the cartoon. That's that's cool. Yeah. I mean, like I said, Super 7 has really been knocking it out of the park with all their figures. I'm not a big vintage fan, but, I mean, I'll definitely be getting Hero and Eldor. And
oh, those look great, yeah.
You
oh.
know, Brian told me some secrets of figures that they're coming out with that are going to completely knock everybody's socks off.
Well, I'll tell you who I hope they come out with is because they're, you know, they're doing Hero and they're doing Eldor. I would like to see Fearless Photog the way he would have looked as a vintage toy, because we got him in Motu C.
Right. And it's completely different. It's a different. Yeah. Yeah.
He, you know, that toy, you know, that kid, Nathan Bittner, won the magazine contest. He was supposed to have, you know, that figure be made for the vintage toy line. And so that's what I would really like to see, because like, it was great that they got it made for classics. And I helped out with that a little bit. I did an interview. Yeah, I did an interview with Nathan Bittner, and I contacted Scott Knightlick and told him, you know, I got a hold of him because Mattel had tried and couldn't find him. And he Scott said, John, I've got this idea for the 30th anniversary toy line with, you know, Spectre and all that. And I could probably get him put in it. Can you get Nathan in touch with me? So I got Nathan on the phone, and it was a bit of jumping through hoops a little bit because the deadline was getting close and Nathan was a bit shy about talking to Mattel for whatever reason. And so finally I got them to talk, and then they ended up making Fearless Photog into Motu C, which was awesome. And they had to get Nathan's permission again because...
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, his creation.
It was his creation. And even though they kind of, you know, they gave him a scholarship, it was for $100,000 U.S. back in the 80s. Like, incredible.
Damn.
But they had to get his permission again because he was a youth then. So they had to ask him again, can we use it? And so my understanding is he didn't actually get paid again, and that was fine. You know, he got paid in the past, but they gave him... I think it worked out to like 30 free Photog action figures for his family and stuff like that. Yeah, so that was cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. But so my hope is that they make Fearless Photog as a vintage toy, because I always wanted that in the vintage toy line. For me, it was Photog, Hero, and Eldor, and I don't think there was any other characters we were promised that we didn't get. Can you think of any?
The Giants.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did make them, though.
Yeah, but not here.
No, I'm just thinking of characters that we were told they were going to make, but they didn't. And I think those are the only three that come to mind: Fearless Photog, Eldor, and Hero.
Yeah.
So that's my hope, and then, you know, I hope they make Queen Marlena. And,
that'd be nice. That'd be a nice touch. Yeah.
Shadow Weaver would be great too. Yeah.
Shadow Weaver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like where they're going with. The vintage line for the five inch figures, or even
what's his face, Seahawk, right?
Yeah, Seahawk, yeah,
yeah, Seahawk would be a nice touch too as well.
Yeah, well, I would assume they'd make him and Bo if they're making a She-Ra.
Yeah,
you know, it would be nice to get those in the chunkier vintage style.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, like the Masters Buck, not the Bo Buck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm pretty impressed with that. I hope that develops. Super 7 was saying that they're hoping that they're going to actually sell that 5.5 line in stores. They'll still sell it online.
Yeah, but, yeah. They want to bring it to retail.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. I'm really curious as to what's going to happen. I hope Super 7 has the line for a couple of years.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing, though. My wife, yesterday, she just read an article that a good percentage of Toys R Us's are shutting down in America. Yeah. A lot of them.
Well, part of the problem is, you know, a lot of people don't go to Toys R Us anymore. No. They buy their toys online through Amazon and stuff like that. So I think the toy companies are starting to realize, too, they don't really need Toys R Us as the middleman anymore. So, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of these larger big box stores like Toys R Us close. I hope, you know, some of the smaller ones survive. But, like, here in Canada, we have a store called Toys, Toys, Toys. And, you know, you go in, if you find a He-Man toy, it's twice as expensive as what you get online. So I just never found it worth it. So
what type of toys do they have? Classics or?
Oh, not so much classics. I'm thinking more way back, but like even 6 years ago, I could go in and I could find one of those commemorative figures in stock. Yeah. And the one in Toronto still has the NECA statue of Clawful up on the top shelf. I'm, I think it's like $500 or something crazy. I'm not going to buy it.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah. So, but, yeah, you don't really see. Oh, and they had the Toys R Us exclusives. They were selling them, too. So, like, the, you know, Skeletor versus Lex Luthor, stuff like that. But it was, I find they're always more expensive than what you'd ever find online. So. But, no, for the most part, I've been impressed with Super 7. With this wave one, the only figure that I don't really like that much is Triclops. I was a little disappointed that they changed the colors on the on his outfit and the visor to like that kind of not lime green, but well, close to it, like a very bright green.
Yeah, it's like yeah.
And I guess the reason for that was because the original cells they were painted that way, that light green, which you know makes sense because the toy was that light green, but. When you watch the episodes, they were always a darker forest green. And I don't know if it's just that's the way it transferred when they transferred it into the cartoon and then broadcast it, but that's the colors I'm used to. So I, you know, I get wanting to do it as authentic as possible, but when you're used to a certain look, I kind of wish they would have gone with that instead, the darker green.
Yeah.
So On the plus side, Super 7 does make a lot of variants, so I'm hoping that maybe they'll make the dark green Triclops as a variant, since, you know, that's what they showed us anyways, so.
Yeah, but you know what, they also probably want to differentiate the Filmation versus the Classics version as well.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little, you know, color discoloration to, you know, distinguish them both.
The other figure that stands out a little bit to me there is Hawk. I haven't seen a finished version yet. So far, I've only seen the mock-ups. I've heard some complaints about the neck and the legs being a little bit, a little hippie. Hopefully she looks good in hand. I don't know, but but we'll see how she turns out. And then Wave 2, I'm pretty excited about because, you know, like I'm a fan of the 87 movie. Karg. They're making an action figure of Karg.
You know, and I said that since day one. I said, you know, you got that loophole that they made the 87 adaption for Star Comics.
I said,
and I believe he made another appearance in another Star comic. I was like, you know, that's their loophole.
Years ago, if you go on He-Man.org, a little plug there for Val. If you go on He-Man.org, I started a thread years ago about Karg's appearance in the Masters of the Universe magazine. And that's actually where Super 7 based the colors on for this. Like, if you look at him, he looks exactly like the character from the movie, but they used the colors from that magazine.
Oh, really?
Good. And, yeah, I started that thread. I said, you know, is this possibly a loophole? Because, you know, Mattel published a comic. It says copyright Mattel.
Exactly.
And there's Karg. So that's what they ended up doing. They made Karg in the movie form, but used those lighter colors from the magazine. And I think those colors look great. I think it translates well as a toy. And my hope is maybe we'll see the robots as well. They appear a couple times in the comics, Star Comics, purple and brown and navy blue. So why not make them in those kind of colors, you know?
Yeah.
can always say spray paint it black if we want. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little customization. Get back.
Yeah.
It'd definitely be great to have these guys in the classics line. It definitely would be great. Yeah. You know, well, hopefully Karg opens the door for all that now. You know, now they'll see that, hey, people want them.
Yeah.
And we got the loophole. Let's go with it.
Well, I hope they do. And, you know, funny enough with the loopholes, Beastman in Star Comics only ever appeared once.
Yes.
And that was in the movie comic. So his only appearance was in the movie outfit.
Right. Yeah. The adaptation. Yeah.
He never appeared as he did in the cartoon in those comics. So.
No, He looks, he looks just like he did in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you never know. You know, get another Beastman. So it's the only time will tell. And you know what? Super 7's on our side. They're fans and they want what the fans want. So hopefully we get what we want and it'll be great.
Yeah, no, Super 7's been doing a great job. I'm really happy that they got the license. And, they listen to the fans, too. You know, they've been really good with communication and stuff like that, keeping us informed. And, you know, they miss a couple of due dates because of issues with the factory or whatever. I don't think most fans care. I certainly don't care about that.
That's fine, man. That's fine because, you know what, they're gonna catch the QC issues before it's already out. And then you don't have to return it and go through all that process. So I rather wait, get the figures right the first time, send them out, and then you're happy with them. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You don't have any paint issues. You don't have any of that. Just all the other BS that we had to deal with back in the day with Nightlick being in charge. So, you know, it'll be good. And something else I hope that Super 7 does is revisits Stinkor's weapons, because that blue gun and that blue gas mask, that needs to be colored. They need to do something with that.
Well, with Stinkor, like, you know, going back to what do they call them again? The Motu. What did they call He-Man, Ram-Man? The recent line, it was Masters of the Universe. What was it? It starts with an E. You know what I'm looking at. Where they come with the extra heads and the weapons and stuff. What do they call that toy line?
Masters, the Ultimates.
Ultimates. Masters of the Universe Ultimates.
Yeah.
I mean, Stinkor is a character that should get an Ultimate figure because, you know, they can give him two different heads. They can fix the arms. Because that was one of the, you know, one of the biggest issues I ever had with that line when Scott was in charge was their reversed forearms.
Yes. Went
terrible. And he tried to say it was a creative decision on their part. No, it wasn't. It was a mistake.
The first He-Man they released had reverse shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
And red eyes. Come on.
Yeah, there was a lot of mistakes like that when the line first started. But Stinkor was the worst for that. And I was actually surprised they never tried to re-release them again. So I'm hoping Super 7 does, because I'd like to see that fixed. I know a lot of fans would.
Yes.
And just the fact that, you know, you can give him the head that he had in the 2000X cartoon. You can give him the original Merman head. And, you know, paint up the mask and the gun and stuff. Give him more details and stuff like that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because it sticks out like a sore thumb. It just doesn't fit, you know?
Yeah.
It's silly. It's like a bright blue gun. It's like his blue shield he came with the vintage figure. It just doesn't fit.
And that's another thing they can give him too, because some Stinkors came with a blue He-Man shield, right? It was the blue He-Man shield that He-Man came with, and it had the orange painted inside of it. If you look at, I think it's Top Toys and a couple other like different countries and stuff, Stinkor came with the He-Man shield, but in blue. In North America, we got the Castle Grayskull blue shield, but in other places, we got the He-Man shield.
Yeah. I got the blue shield here in America. Yeah, it's.
But, and the other thing they could package with him too, which is why I really hope they do make Stinkor as one of those, is the little furry guy. What's his name? Oedipus.
Oedipus. Yes.
You know, they could make a little Oedipus and package him with him as well, which would be great. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You know, they made one for the Staction. All they have to really do is take that and give him movable arms and a movable head.
Articulate a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of articulation. Yeah.
Well, just a statue. Just, you know, paint them right the colors, you know, just not the one that we got with the statue. That's one color, you know, it's silly.
So Stinkor, I'd love to see an ultimate. Fisto, I really hope they make an ultimate of. Hell and yeah. Maybe yeah. Jitsu, they can make an ultimate of now.
Jitsu would be cool because you can have multiple heads with him as well, with the ponytail, the original head that came with the vintage figure.
You do mini comics, so you see him older, so you have a gray haired version.
Yes, yes, yeah. The chopper version. You know, you could do a lot. You could definitely do a lot. But you know, again, that's out of our range. We can come up with polls and talk about it in forums and things like that, and hopefully they listen. But
well, if any of you guys ever have any good ideas for polls, talk to me, because at He-Man World, we can post polls there too. Yes. And I've got a variety of different kind of polls we can use. We use gravity form polls there. It's a little different than He-Man Orc. So if any of you ever have any ideas for polls, send me a message, let me know, and I'll post them.
Yeah, without doubt.
This is fantastic. I'm still reverting back to saying, hey, John, great. I can't wait to check out your group. I want to join it.
All right. Definitely do, man.
That was our message. That was our message. I'm like, what an idiot.
All right, guys. So, you know, we've been on here for an hour and a half or so, so I guess we're going to wrap things up. John? I want to say thank you for joining us, and congratulations and all, you know, with HeManWorld.com and everything else that you've been doing. Do you have any parting words for the audience?
Hey, you know, just great being able to chat with you guys tonight. You know, always fun to talk about Masters of the Universe with the fans. And if you haven't checked out the website, HeManWorld.com, please do. We've got a forum as well, and would love to have you join.
Yeah, sign up. There's great content on there. You guys have breaking news all the time. It's a great place to go for He-Man news. And, you know, check it out. Sign up. It's free to join. And, you know, check it out. It's one of the last remaining He-Man sites out there. And it's totally worth the while. And, again, it's got, you know, breaking news all the time. So, check it out, guys. Go to HeManWorld.com and, you know, say hi to John. Say hi to the rest of the guys. Get to know each other. There's a welcoming page. You can introduce yourself, an introduction page, forum, or whatever it's called. Introduce yourself. You know, you can tell everybody what you're about, what you collect, what you got, show pictures, and, you know, take it from there. Everybody there is friendly. You know, they'll welcome you with open arms, and, you know, it's all about having fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, all right, guys. John Atkins, thanks again. The Miz, thank you, sir.
Hey, man. I'm always happy to be here.
And so we're going to wrap this up. And next week we have Penny Dreadful, Danielle. She's going to be our guest on Monday.
Awesome.
And... Wow. John, anytime in the future you want to stop by, let me know. Give me a ring.
And, for sure.
We'll keep in touch like usual. And until next time, guys, rock on. We'll see you then. See you later, guys.
Take care, guys. Thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Good journey, guys.
You too. Good journey.